Nina Hall, Assistant Professor in International Relations at Johns Hopkins University. She usually lives between Berlin and Bologna in Italy, but she's back in the country and she joins us now. Kia ora, Nina.
Kia ora, Karen. Nice to be speaking with you.
Good that you're here. And I'm not sure if you heard the program before seven, but on the detail, they had sort of a potted history of MMP in New Zealand. And I know we're going to talk about the German elections, but I'm old enough to remember how that came about and when it came into being. And we followed Germany into MMP, didn't we? But for entirely different reasons.
Yeah, that's right. I was listening to the detail just before and thinking it's a perfect evening to talk about German politics, because New Zealand did inherit the same electoral system, MMP, from what was then West Germany, of course. East Germany had a very different system, which we wisely didn't inherit. So the election that we're going to talk about tonight is the German election, which happened in late September, the last weekend, on the 27th. And it's a really interesting one because it was the first time in 16 years that Merkel wasn't standing.
Yes, she's out. She's gone. She's retiring.
That's right. And it's incredible really thinking that, isn't it? It's, you know, 2005 when she entered politics. The world looked very different then. She's outlasted, you know, Obama's had two terms in office. Trump's been in and out. She's the longest standing leader in the G7 and the G20. And it's important for us here in New Zealand to remember Germany is Europe's, you know, powerhouse. It's the largest economy. What Germany says has a huge influence in the EU and also beyond the European Union and global politics. So without Merkel, I think a lot of people are looking to Germany and going, well, who's going to lead Germany and therefore who's going to be an important player in global politics?
Yes, so MMP, so that's the case. So they're vying for position now. So perhaps you can take us through what happened, because there was some delay whilst they worked out, were still working out, who they're partnering with, I believe.
That's correct. And I think a New Zealand audience will be pretty familiar with this, right? The election happened on Sunday the 27th, and the results came through fairly speedily, but this vote was quite fragmented. It's no longer as much of a two-party system. I mean, there were always multiple parties, but the centre-right party, Merkel's CDU, and the centre-left, the Social Democrats, or SPD, had tended to dominate. And they had been in a grand coalition. So the centre-right and the centre-left had been in government together for the last 4 years. And what's been really interesting is that there being really challenged by the Green Party and the Liberals, the FDP, which the Liberals are very similar for a New Zealand listener to the ACT Party. And so, in fact, what we saw was the SPD getting just under 26% of the vote. The CDU had its worst result ever with about 24.1%. That's their worst result since World War II. And the Greens came in just under 15%, which was their best result. But they had been really hoping and vying for the top position. And in fact, the Greens had fielded for the first time a candidate for chancellor and took part in all the main political debates, which normally just happened between the SPD, the centre-left, and the centre-right. And so they came in at third place, a little bit disappointed. And then in fourth place, we had the Liberal Party with 11.5. So what's really happening now is that the SPD have emerged as the victors. Slightly odd, because no one was expecting that. In fact, even their own party, I think, was quite surprised by the success which came through in the last month as the polls increased. And we can talk about why that is. And what looks most likely to happen, the coalition talks have been underway for the last couple of weeks, is what the Germans have names for all their different coalitions, and what they call the Ampel, or the traffic light coalition, which is the Greens plus the yellow Liberals and the red Social Democrats is what's most likely at the moment.
So the Liberals like ACT, and so what were the policies that they put forward for this election?
Sure. I mean, very similar in many ways to ACT. They're concerned by regulation, particularly strong. We saw in the debates that they were pushing back against the Greens, who they saw were regulating too much. And in their attempts, the Greens' attempts to try and tackle climate change. And I think one of the big problems for the coalition talks is really differences over finance and government spending. So the Greens and the SPD want to increase taxes and government spending and also increase the minimum wage. There already is a minimum wage of €9.60. And both the Greens and the SPD want to increase that to €12 an hour. But the FDP are against that, and they're very strongly against government debt. In fact, just in the last couple of days, they've said that's a red line for them, that debts do not create a future, one of their leaders has said.
How many politicians do they have combined, you know, with these parties?
With all of the parties together? Actually, that's a really good question. I don't know off the top of my head, but they would have, so the German parliament is huge. It has over 600 seats. And so they would be well over the majority, these three, the SPD, the Greens and the Liberals. So they would be forming for the first time for Germany a three-way coalition. Normally they've had two-way coalitions in the German system. So there's quite a lot. And in fact, what's also tricky is that the Liberals in the past walked out on coalition talks 4 years ago. 4 years ago, there was an attempt between the CDU, so the centre-right, and the Greens and the Liberals to form a coalition. And the Liberals walked out because of disagreements with the Greens. And in the end, it took months to get an alternative, and it was the Grand Coalition that Merkel had with the Social Democrats. So I think there's a lot of pressure in a way on the Liberals this time to try and find some kind of agreement with the Greens, yet they stand quite opposite on many policy issues. Although there are some issues that they agree on, like digitalization, which may seem odd, but Germany is really not very well connected on the internet. So you can be just outside of Berlin, as I often am, and the kind of surrounding state of Brandenburg and just not be able to connect or get Wi-Fi messages. So that's a big issue that all of the parties are talking about, is how do we make how to make Germany bring it forward to the future and digitalization. And there's also a lot of commonalities around EU and foreign policy. So it's not that they're polar opposite across all issues.
So there'd be a lot of lobbying going on backstage at the moment, obviously. Who's likely to shine through in these deals when we're looking at Liberals and the Greens? Will the Greens get what they want?
It's really hard to say. The Greens, in a way, have power because they have slightly more seats, and they are siding or more them closer to the Social Democrats, the centre left, so they're more friendly with them. But you know, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge. I think one thing that's interesting to see is that it looks like Robert Habeck, who's one of the co-leaders of the Greens, is angling for finance minister. And the leader of the Liberals, Christian Lindner, is also angling for finance minister. So I think that's going to be the one to watch.
Polls apart, you'd have to say.
Exactly. And it will be a very important position. So that will, of course, dictate a lot of what happens in Germany, whether Germany goes into investing a lot in a green economy or whether it takes a very different approach. So I think that's going to be one of the key things to watch out for. Of course, overall, one of the key players is Olaf Scholz, who's the leader of the SPD. He's the current finance minister under the Merkel, the centre-right, centre-left coalition. And he's an interesting character because, in a way, even though he's from the centre-left, he represents continuity with Merkel. So he billed himself as Merkel's successor and even adopted in a famous photo her hand gesture. She puts her hand in a diamond shape whenever she's at international summits. If you look at the G7 or G20 photos, she always has this very signature hand pose. And he even did that on the electoral trail to show how he was really quite centrist. And he is very centrist within the SPD. So it's quite interesting that even though Merkel's party didn't manage to win and do well, the SPD managed to capitalize in a way on her sort of fiscally conservative, stable reputation and thereby win, although not with a very big percentage of the votes.
So what does that little diamond handshake mean?
Well, it's just what Merkel adopted. She said she didn't know what to do with her hands when she was at all these international summits and the photos. I think it's just one of those, you know, things that she's decided to do.
Very odd. Very odd. So when do we find out, you know, who's got what?
Look, the politicians are saying they're hoping to get done by Christmas.
Christmas.
So that's the kind of aim. Yeah, yeah.
Why is it going to take so long?
Well, as you can imagine, trying to come to an agreement between the Greens, who want to increase state spending, and the Liberals, who are diametrically opposed to that, I think it will take some time to work that through. And it's a, you know, a big parliament. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, maybe they'll be faster. And there's certainly almost every day this week there are talks. Olaf Scholz is actually flying to Washington for the World Bank meetings, but otherwise all the senior leaders are meeting most days this week to work this through. So it's front of politics. And meanwhile, the CDU, the centre-right party, are really struggling to figure out how to rejuvenate themselves. So it's an interesting moment to look at the centre-right. They've a number of senior politicians have resigned, like the former defence minister, Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, and Peter Altmaier. And they're trying to make way for more junior members of parliament, as so few could enter this year. So it'll be interesting to see how that party also rejuvenates itself.
Christmas, we'll wait then. And meanwhile, in France, their presidential election is heating up for next year.
Yeah, and I was actually in France in mid-September. It was quite a funny time to be there because it was around the time that the AUKUS announcement happened. So I was sitting on the train watching the French foreign minister tear into the Americans and the Australians with frustration. And at the same time, as you said, the other big headlines, of course, was the various nominees. So for your listeners who aren't familiar, the French presidential election is completely different, almost the opposite of the MMP system. It's a two-stage race in which there are, you know, a number of candidates put forward by parties, and even people like Macron established his own party in last time around. And then if one person wins a majority, they obviously become the French president, but that I'm not sure that it's actually ever happened. So typically it goes through to a second race. And so the first race will be April the 10th and the second April 22nd, when the top two candidates will go through. And so what we're looking at right now is kind of the very open field where everyone starts throwing forward their names. And we've had an interesting array. So we have Marine Le Pen, of course, who people will be familiar with on the far right, but she's also being challenged by a TV pundit, Eric Zemmour, who's an anti-immigrant proponent of French nationalism and is trying to really win the far right vote. We also have, of course, Macron standing again. We have Michel Barnier, who was the EU lead negotiator on Brexit. He's standing for the centre-right and looks like he's also adopting some of the anti-immigrant rhetoric in order to win over voters. And then the left is very split. We have Greens candidate, Yannick Jadot. We have Anne Hidalgo, who's the current mayor of Paris, and left-wing leader Jean-Luc Mélenchon. So there's a real, I mean, there are others as well. So it will be quite interesting to see how the votes fall in that first round. And I should also note, there have been some attempts to coordinate this so that the left, say, put forward one candidate and they can all unite around that. But so far that hasn't succeeded. So the two people who are running, who are most likely to, you know, get the presidential seat get through to that second round is very wide open.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Nina. And I just got to say, I've got several texts that came through. I couldn't quite work out what they were saying. Karen, please, Johns Hopkins. And when I introduced you, I think my eye must have skipped over the S on the Johns Hopkins University.
No problem.
Is Johns Hopkins, is it like two people? You know, Johns and Hopkins.
It's one person. Yeah, yeah. Johns Hopkins, yeah.
And their name is Johns.
Yeah.
Plural. How interesting. Well, thank you very much. When do you think you'll be heading back there?
Oh, I'm happy to say I've got a good 6 months here. I want to make the most of New Zealand now that I've got through MIQ and back in New Zealand. Enjoy the summer, and it's great. It's great to be home.
Yeah, good to have you here. Thank you very much, Nina.
Thanks so much, Karen. Have a good one.
That's Nina Hall, and with what's going on in Germany and in France next year.